something I'd normally do, because it takes about 3 hours. But I'm feeling inconveniently surveilled, and I don't like the idea of the Maginot Blue Stars network being able to track me. So I follow the footpath for another half kilometer before reigniting the Hand of Glory and dashing back almost all the way I've come, then exiting onto a side street. I take 2 corners and jump a fence into somebody's backyard before I extinguish the hog again, then walk out casually with my shoulders back and my chin up. A bus ride in an irrelevant direction takes me 10 minutes farther away from the office. Then it's into a back alley and time to reignite the hog for a brisk kilometer. Finally, I snuff it out and catch a different bus that passes close enough to the new annex that I can walk from the stop. I march up to the darkened CNA staff entrance and key my number, then swipe my pass card. The door clicks and I step inside. It's totally black, and in the gloom I can hear the restless shuffling of one of the night staff. I pull out my warrant card hastily, lest I be eaten by a grue. Arguing with the night watchman is singularly futile, unless you do it with a chainsaw or a baseball bat. Get me a torch, I snap. The warrant card is all very well. It sheds a faint, nacreous glow. But the backlight invocation has unpleasant side effects if you crank up the lumens too high. Why is it that all the movies make it look as if wizards find invoking light easy? Tenuous glows and balefire are all very well, but there's a reason we use fluorescent tubes around here.
Rains?
He asks plaintively. A torch flicks on, and I see the wizened face of its holder. Here, give me that. I take the torch, being careful to hold the warrant card between me and the doorman. I think he might be Fred from accounting, but if so, he's definitely a bit the worse for wear these days. It's several years since he died, and not everyone around here gets the deluxe Jeremy Bentham treatment. Mostly, HR just arrange for one of us to stick them in a summoning grid and bind one of the eaters in the night to service. Weak, minimally sentient efflorescences of alien will that can animate a corpse and control it just about enough to push a broom, or scare the living daylights out of unwanted nighttime visitors. I gather it saves on funeral expenses. Stay here and forget I came this way. That's an order. I climb the stairs, leaving the residual human resource behind to eat any unwitting B-team cultists who are stupid enough to tail me. It's past midnight, and they make regular inspection rounds, so I keep my card out and hope like hell the battery in this plastic piece of shit lasts until I make it to my office. I keep a proper torch there, a mag light that'll work properly when it's time to go visit Angleton's lair and turf those files from top to bottom. Luckily, the plastic piece of shit holds out, and I let myself in, flick on the light, shut the door, and flop down behind my desk with a sigh of relief.
Took your time getting here, didn't you, boy?
In the time it takes me to peel myself off the ceiling and return my pistol to its holster, Angleton takes up residence in my visitor's chair, folding his ungainly limbs around himself like a spindly black spider. The skeletal, humorless grin tells me I'm in trouble even before I open my mouth.
I've waited here for 3 consecutive nights. What delayed you?
I close my mouth. Then I open it and close it again a couple of times, just for practice. Finally, when I trust myself to speak, I say one word. Cultists.
3 days, boy. Suppose you tell me what you've learned.
One moment. My paranoia is growing. I take out my phone and peer at him through its camera. True Seer tells me that I am indeed looking at my boss, who is looking increasingly irritated. I make the shiny vanish. Okay, from the top, the Fuller memorandum is missing, the Russians have gotten all upset, cultists are throwing their toys out of the pram, and everyone wants to know about the teapot. Oh, and someone in research and development says that Case Nightmare Green isn't going to wait a couple of years, but is due to kick off in a few weeks or months at the most. What am I missing? Angleton stares at me coldly.
You're missing the spy, boy.
I nearly swallow my tongue. Spy?
Yes. Helen Langhorne, aged 74, widow of Flight Lieutenant Adrian Langhorne, long-term resident of Cosford, working part-time at the museum as a volunteer. Met her husband while she was in the WRAAF back in 1963, which is a pretty interesting occupation for her to have been in, considering that she was also a captain in the Russian army and a GRU illegal who was inserted into the UK in 1959 when she was barely out of her teens.
I make an inarticulate gurgling noise. But she... the hangar... she wasn't... she can't have... Angleton waits for me to wind down.
The many angled ones are not the only enemy this country has ever faced, boy. Some of us remember.
It's okay for him to say that. I was about 10 when the Cold War ended.
Helen Langhorne's primary assignment did not come to an end just because the Soviet Union collapsed. To outward appearances, her utility had been in decline for many years, after her husband failed to achieve advancement, costing her access to people and bases. Once she hit 60, with no long-term prospects, they wrote her off. This is one of the risks one runs with long-term illegals. Their entire life may be marginalized by one or two unfortunate and unpredictable errors. There are probably 50 others like her in the UK. Retired bank managers and failed politicians' wives pruning their privet hedges and daydreaming of the revolution that failed them. Or perhaps they accept it gladly, happy to no longer be a pawn on the chessboard. But in any case, Helen's career appears to have undergone a brief second flowering in the last few years.
But she... I flap my jaws inarticulately. She was halfway to dementia.
Was she?
Angleton raises a skeptical eyebrow.
She was on the front desk of a museum gallery barely 200 meters from Hangar 12B, where airframe 004 is being cannibalized for spare parts to keep the other three white elephants airway.